The reason, of course, that we come to break bread is so that we might remember the great price that was paid, and that we, in gratitude, would realize that we owe Christ a great debt of gratitude. And that we would, in some form, some expression, certainly from the intent of our hearts, to worship Him. And so I don't know if this is the time that you're expecting that you're going to worship Him. That's fine. But worship, I hope, would have begun earlier in the day. I'm hoping that it would have begun as you looked outside and said, Lord, I thank you for the snow. I thank you for the cold weather. How many of you said that this morning? Well, Jean-Paul and I are just two weird ducks. There's only two of us. Because you see, the God who gives the good that we all are so readily willing to accept, as we read in the Matthew 5 passage, is the God who gives the good to all. And Psalm 145 says that God is good to all. And I want to assure you that the snow is part of God's goodness. And when I was a kid, jumping out in the snow and going out there and just wanting to shovel and breathe that fresh air, I still like it. And so I was out there this morning. Maybe not so much by choice, because I had a lot of other things to do, but I thought, yeah, I'm going to go out there. And while I was out there, I was saying, oh, thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Thank you, Lord, for the snow and every individual snowflake. And a reminder that this, too, will disappear. Ephesians chapter 1, the goodness of God. Verse 3. Now let these be your words. Pretend for a moment that you're writing this letter to family and friends, and you have given a lot of thought to the things that are being said here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And so the purpose for which you and I are part of the church is that we corporately, and yes, individually, would be holy people. That people could look at your life and look at mine and say, there's a man, a woman, who seek to live with integrity of heart. Holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. What has he freely given us? Grace. Everything that we get to have and enjoy in life, a loving family, people who care for us, people who pray for us, people who, again, remind us that we're loved by God. Those are the human relationships. But what else does he give us on a vertical, from the vertical side? Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. And so the communion service is to be pointing to the vertical relationship. We're to be reminded of the great price that was paid so that we could have a freedom of conscience. Not freedom to sin, but a freedom not to sin. A freedom to enjoy and to know that we are on course to meet the one who loves us. And so redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and all of this is in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Only God could design such a plan. You and I are simply living testimonies. We witness it and we're in awe of it. Hopefully you're in awe of it. As a young person, looking out at God's creation, I could say honestly that I was in awe. But when I began to understand that God so loved the world and that God so loved me, again, in awe. In awe that God would love each of us so personally, with such an intensity. God cares for you, wants the very best for you, has done everything so that you could live out under the benefits of his plan. Verse 9, and he made known to us the mystery of his will. Something that people sometimes wonder, what is the will of God? It's one of the most simple things there is. You all know the answer. You've heard me say it so many times. Loving God and loving people. Can it be simple? Just that simple? Yes. The mystery of his will is that God would reconcile all men, regardless of race, regardless of language, regardless of color. God is seeking, that's the mystery of his will, that he would bring all men, not just good people. By the way, when you and I think of good people, we are obviously not very objective about that. We obviously have a scale of what that might mean. But in God's books, God says, for God so loved the world that he gave himself for all men, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so there isn't one good man or one good woman, so to speak, who's entitled to enter the kingdom apart from grace. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66. And then we'll open it up for different men to come up and share from the word. Isaiah 66. In light of the fact that you and I have now come to understand the mystery of his will, we're on course for a new heaven and a new earth. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hands made all these things so that they came into being, declares the Lord? And sometimes we think that if we're just simply busy about doing what we would call kingdom work, that somehow we're doing something for God. But God says, this is what I want from you. This is what he wants from each and every one of us this morning as we consider all that we've received from the Father. This is the one I esteem, the one who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Tremble here is not a fear of judgment, but it is a trembling that says that I long to honor God with my life. And to do anything other than that, yes, would be disastrous. To love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. That would, of course, mean that I would need to love my neighbor. It would mean I'd need to love my enemies. It would mean to love as God loves. Let's focus on that this morning and give thought to that. Just want to open it up now to different men to participate who want to share from the word and lead us in a word of prayer, and may the Lord be honored and glorified this morning.
Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, reflecting on the marvelous gift that you have given to us in sending your son Jesus to die for us, to pay the penalty of our sin. And by believing in you, we have eternal life. And you tell us so clearly in your word that when we place our trust in you, we are part of your family. We are your children. We're just overwhelmed by the love that you have for us and that you call us your children. We are grateful for that. And I pray as we commune this morning with you, with each other, that our hearts will just be filled with joy and with gratitude as we reflect on this. In Jesus' name.
I shared some of these verses in Sunday school already, but if you want to turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. I'll read the first two verses of John, 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know that we love God's children if we love God and obey his commands. And then we'll go to my favorite verses, verses 11 to 13. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And here's John's reason for saying these things, for writing those words. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the assurance that we can have, that we can know that because we believe in you, we will be with you in heaven someday. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us while we're here, that we serve you out of gratitude, serve you out of joy, serve you out of peace and a clear conscience, knowing that someday we will be with you. And we thank you for this opportunity here when we can remember what you have done for us as you gave your life to pay for what we have done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you turn to Romans 5? Start at verse 6. 11. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that for the privilege to be able to worship you. Thank you that you took my place on the cross, and even though I was sinning, you died for me. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified today. Thank you that you're in our midst here as we remember what you have done. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. This is just in light of some of the things mentioned in Isaiah about trembling at the word of God. I think it's just a call to live a holy life. And Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Strangers, that just reminds me how Abraham was a stranger in the land that he was promised. And I think we are so to live here as well. This is not our permanent home. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for your word. There's so much there we can reflect on. And I just ask, Lord, that we too can forget the times of ignorance and just go to your word and learn how to live in a way that is pleasing to you. I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you are going to help with communion, if you'd come forward at this time. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Pretty easy to do, isn't it? In fact, much of the world lives like that. In fact, in Jesus' day, most of the people lived just like that. But love your enemies. Who is my enemy? Well, my enemy is anyone with whom I refuse to work cooperatively. Someone I dislike. Someone I can't get along with. Someone with whom I simply refuse to love and pray for. Maybe you ought to reflect on that. You may say maybe it's your kids today. Hopefully not. Maybe kids, it's your parents. Hopefully not. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your husband. Hopefully not. Maybe it's that person that's sitting across in the sanctuary today. Maybe it's the person I work with. Maybe it's those who rule our country. Maybe it's those who rule other countries. Who is your enemy today? How are you going to love them? Well, hopefully you'll love them by trembling at the word of God and saying, "I realize that where I'm living today is not where I should be living. The way that I think about life and the way that I act and the way that I speak. Who may ascend the holy hill of the Lord? Interesting that the scriptures are all tied together, aren't they? There's very little wiggle room in holiness. It's not about perfection as such, because none of us here can be perfect in the sense of being without sin, because all of us realize that we are sinners. But when our conscience is clear in the sense that we're treating people the way God would want us to treat them, then we can break bread with a clear conscience. The breaking of bread in 1 Corinthians, let's turn there for a moment. Passage that's very familiar to us. The breaking of bread was a participation of the body of Christ in a recognition of the value of the work of Christ. He did not die in vain. As we were reminded, as Frank read the passage from Romans, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, if none of us were sinners, Christ need not die. And if you don't consider yourself a sinner, then do you really think Christ needed to die for you? No, he needed to die for everybody else in this room, but not for me. Then the breaking of bread has no value to you. You have no need. I'm here because loving my enemies is one of the most difficult things for me to do. And while my Savior hung on Calvary's cross and he looked down at those who crucified him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And oftentimes in my conversations and my expressions of hatred and dislike, I fail to realize that I'm not loving the way God wants me to love. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his enemies, too. Said, well, Jesus laid down his life for his friends. Yes, that's an obvious thing that a friend would want to do. But rarely would a good man die for another good man, let alone good men dying for evil people. And Jesus made it clear that we're all evil and in need of his grace, in need of his saving, in need of his love. And so praise God that we've been called children of God, in which the love of God has been lavished upon us. Verse 27. I rarely read this verse, but felt that in light of our passage in Matthew, in light of our passage in Isaiah 66, in light of our passage in Ephesians 1, and every other passage that's been read here this morning, that points us to the fact that when we're on holy ground, we recognize who we are in light of who God is. And without God and without his forgiveness, I am nothing. And neither are you. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Taking stock of my relationships with my parents this morning, young people. Taking stock of my relationship with my wife, you husbands. Taking stock of my relationship with my husband, you wives. Taking stock of my relationship with the body of believers. Taking stock of my relationship to this world and the way that I view people. People of this world need a loving church. Need a body of believers that are consistent, who are quick to forgive. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Sobering verse. Sobering verse because it not only speaks of the marvelous grace of God on the one hand, but what that grace is prepared to do when you and I fail to appreciate it and live the way we should. That's why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, lived holy lives, trembled at his word, give thought to all of our conversations, and made them right. Made them right. Make them right. If there's something here today that says I'm not right with someone or with God in your conscience, then don't play games. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we'll not be condemned with the world. May the Lord bless our time as we partake, and may we do so with joy because we have a clear conscience and we've understood what it means to love God and love people, what it means to love our neighbors, and yes, to love our enemies, and whatever that relationship might be here this morning. May you partake because you understand that God loves you and you're seeking to reciprocate that in all of your relationships. Someone want to give thanks for the cup, or for the loaf, please.
Let's pray. Lord, we are truly humbled by your great love for us, for the sacrifice that you made for us, that we might be able to enter into eternal relationship with you. And this morning, as we think back on that, we thank you for your sacrifice, for allowing your body to be broken for us. And we pray, Lord, that our lives would reflect what you've done for us, that we might live in such a way that we'd imitate the way that you lived. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Woe to me, Isaiah said. I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. One of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." In all that Jesus did, the offering of his body, all of our sin, past, present, and future, have been dealt with. The issue of sin today is the issue of fellowship. It has to do with my condition before God, not my position. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Fathers, we've already sung this morning that the life is in the blood that you shed for us. You gave your life for ours. We thank you for this picture that you've given us, so we can always remember what you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, that as we remember that, we're also convicted, so that we're also reminded of the things that we do that probably don't please you. And I pray, Lord, that in my own heart that you would help me to get rid of those things. I pray that as we remember here together, that you would be pleased and honored by what we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Life of the believer is one daily of repentance and confession. Undoubtedly, you are only too aware of your shortcomings and different relationships. Rest in the confidence that God gives us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The communion service is simply reminding us of that truth. It's reminding us that daily, throughout the week, throughout the month, we've been actively involved in repentance because God has made a way so that we can come before him not with the blood of goats and sheep and a whole ritual of sacrifices, but rather we can come with a clear conscience. We can address things with a contrite and a broken spirit and say, Lord, thank you that I can come to you in this way. And so with the blood of Jesus, we have redemption. We've been set free. In the same way, after supper, the Lord Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so the imminence of the Lord's return, the Lord's coming is at hand, could be any moment. Let us be found awake, not asleep. Let us be vigilant in our walk, sharp in our hearts and our minds, having a clear conscience before God so that we might hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's stand together as we close in a word of prayer. We're reminded of the old chorus that with Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for each one here. We bow our heads, our hearts, our lives, our knees before you with thanksgiving, with praise. Yes, there's a sense in which when we've come to understand that we're finally free from the penalty and the power of sin, we just want to shout out. But we also realize that it's not a one-time thing. We actually have to shout out on a daily basis because we have to come before you recognizing that we need deliverance every day, deliverance from the power of sin. And so we thank you that you have and you are. And that each of us here, having placed our trust in you and daily coming to you for foot washing and confession, can have a clear conscience. So help us, Lord, as we leave this place, to love one another deeply, and then to love those who have hurt us, those whom we would consider and have considered our enemies, and recognize their need is as great as ours. So help us to walk by faith, asking you to help us to be the very men and women, boys and girls you would have us to be in this week ahead. We anticipate your soon return, Lord. We want to live in light of that truth. Not simply say you're returning, but rather that our lives would be holy, reflecting that truth. Be with the Awana Grand Prix today. Love and respect Bible study later on tonight. Pray that we might have a good time together as a congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Enjoy the day.